Easter is the beginning, really, for Christians for the reason we come to church on Sunday. And it's the beginning of our faith. It really is. Easter is Resurrection Day. That's why we're Christians unlike the rest of the world. And it's an appropriate time to think about what are the themes that go with Easter. And we think about, of course, the resurrection of Christ. We think that death has been overcome. We talk about the transformation that takes place in our lives. We also think about all of the things that go with the idea of being a Christian. And so it goes. Now, over the years, there's been a lot of things that have changed. One, we have more churches than we've ever had in our lives. More different beliefs than you can stake a stake at. And it's true. Everybody has a definition that goes with them one way or the other. And I'm sure that in here this morning, everybody has a different view of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which goes with the territory. It does. And the reason I have two lessons down this morning, one from Isaiah, the other from the Gospels, and the Gospels could have any one of the different Gospels. It's the same story. I want to try to reach a balance between what is the myth and the metaphor. What is the reality? What should we be thinking about in terms of the resurrection, and what don't we think about in terms of the resurrection? And you're going to find, as I go, I'm going to be a comparison between Isaiah, vision, and the gospel, reality, and hopefully the ending will be you in your ministry, your mission, and your life. So, open your Bibles to Isaiah. This is a wonderful passage because we're looking at the 25th chapter, verses 6 through 9, just 6 through 9. And it's in the praise part of Isaiah's writings. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, "Surely, this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let's rejoice and be glad in his salvation." The hope of Isaiah wrapped around all of this coming up to this point of Scripture was looking at Israel and trying to get them to see beyond themselves to the hope that was coming, to the hope that Isaiah envisioned, that Jeremiah, that Daniel, that they talked about. And then we come into the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. You all know this scripture. You should. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen laying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Isaiah is really the premier of the Old Testament apocalyptic prophets. And apocalyptic prophets, there were a few, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Daniel. Apocalyptic is basically visionary without dealing in present realities. And we have apocalyptic prophets who dealt in the larger picture of things somewhere over there without looking at the right now. They didn't want to deal with the right now, and it's usually a safe way to cling to faith in the midst of a world that really comes apart at the seams. It's a safe way to cling to faith because sometimes there's nothing in the present that affirms that faith. And it's good then to look toward the future and hope that things really improve down the line. There are a lot of people like this in our world too today that are still this way. They also seek to stubbornly hold to their beliefs while the world is constantly changing. And that's a sad fact. That also happens in our world where you're going to keep it, boom, boxed up. And not take it further. On the positive side, apocalyptic prophets are pretty safe models. Are pretty safe models for us to follow and listen to, particularly on this Easter Sunday morning. They are people who've developed stamina where they are before they wrote down anything at all that we have recorded in our scriptures. They're pretty safe in what they're doing. They're people who plant acorns. I always remember a preacher using that as an example when he's talking about the apocalyptic prophets. They're the acorn planters who won't live to see that oak tree grow completely to maturity up to the heavens and see it there. They're super marathoners. They can keep going and going and going until they die with visions and with hopes. Because they know that things are going to move ahead. They inspire us. They inspire us to want to be better people. They want to give us comfort and hope. Apocalyptic are people, if we could do comparisons to today, like Nelson Mandela or like Sun Yat Ki in Burma, who's hoping for a better life for her people. That's what apocalyptic is. They're looking to the future, hoping that it's going to improve. They're leaders and preachers and hope givers who strongly suspect that they're going to die before they see any improvement in this world of ours, Jesus was apocalyptic in his teachings. Wasn't he? That's why I like to look at both the old and the new on this Resurrection Sunday. Jesus was giving visions that hopefully would outlive the reality of the moment, and looking toward the future that there would be peacemakers, there would be people who offered love and forgiveness and strength to one another. The children and the grandchildren, the ones that were here. That's the hope of a church. That's the hope of a society. Apocalyptic. Someday, somewhere in the far distant future, the agony and the persecution and death will be no more. And so they do what they can do. They live the moment. They live the moment with the promise. And the promise never always fulfilled. They plant the tree. They comfort a child. They put dollars and a blessing in the cup of the panhandler. They plant gardens. They watch things grow, and they thank people who do things for them, knowing that they could never do whatever that person has done to improve a quality of life. They lie down in front of trucks, carrying warheads and causing catastrophe. They treat their enemy with dignity and love. Apocalyptic. Dreamers, hope givers, comfort makers. They keep on keeping on, refusing to let death or injustice or greed or fear or ignorance define the world. That's the big wonderful, wonderful good news of Easter Sunday. It is. Jesus went to the cross to show his solidarity with dreamers. He went to the cross for you and for me. He went to the cross for people who don't believe in him. Stand the thought of being Christian. He went to the cross for those miserable people who killed students in Kenya. He went to the cross and he arose from that death to show God's unending love and forgiveness and hope for all mankind. And we still don't get it, do we? This is the day that Christians should be invited to recommit once more. Every one of us. Recommit our lives to new visions and new hope, and we should be able to do it with joy and confidence like never before. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Christ lives. Christ lives. God our Father, help us to recommit what we are and who we are for your glory because of the risen Lord. Amen.